if you could sort of tell us, was there any injury? That was one thing we wanted to know. And if you can elaborate on maybe the stress you've been feeling. We all know when you're in the spotlight, we can imagine what it's like.
No, no injury, thankfully. And that's why I took a step back, because I didn't want to do something silly out there and get injured. So I thought it was best if these girls took over and did the rest of the job, which they absolutely did. They're Olympic silver medalists now, and they should be really proud of themselves for how well they did last minute having to go in. And it's been really stressful, this Olympic Games, I think, just as a whole, not having an audience. There are a lot of different variables going into it. It's been a long week. It's been a long Olympic process. It's been a long year. So just a lot of different variables, and I think we're just a little bit too stressed out. But we should be out here having fun, and sometimes that's not the case. Today has been really stressful. We had a workout this morning. It went okay, and then just that 5.5 hour wait or something, I was just like shaking, could barely nap. I've just never felt like this going into a competition before, and I tried to go out here and have fun and warm up in the back, went a little bit better. But then once I came out here, I was like, no, mental is not there, so I just need to let the girls do it and focus on myself. Yeah, I say put mental health first, because if you don't, then you're not going to enjoy your sport and you're not going to succeed as much as you want to. So it's okay sometimes to even sit out the big competitions to focus on yourself, because it shows how strong of a competitor and person that you really are, rather than just battle through it.
Sports, sports,
sports, sports. So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, and somebody's getting in Twitter beefs again. Hey, let's do this. We're almost done. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
Diabolical. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman still stirring it up in the final days. Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. You want to get in today? 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like, send a message. Aaron will read it. Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitzed. At Degenerates975. You can text the show. You can watch us on Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. Tuesday, usually you guys are in a bad mood. This is the last Tuesday for you to do that with AJ here.
Yeah, last bad Tuesday for you crybabies.
You know what? Hey, guys, I'm sorry. Mentally, I'm not with it today.
You're checked out.
Yeah, I've got to go.
All right. Well, Aaron, I guess that puts all the pressure on you and I.
I don't know if I can handle that pressure. You know what? I'm out.
Well, the good news is, I mean, Fred's doing it for the team. The show would be better without him.
Exactly. Exactly. It would always be better without me.
All right. Well, I should have known. I didn't know at the time what I was saying was going to basically consume my whole day, and I probably should have.
You know, we've had this discussion before. You know the things that are going to rile people up. You knew that was going to. The thing is, I want to be really clear here. Your original tweet was absolutely fair. A male athlete would be getting ripped a hell of a lot more for this.
What?
That I agree with. Now, should they? Is the question that I would ask. And I think you have to take everything different. But I agree with you that people wouldn't be defending LeBron James.
Zero chance. If LeBron James went out and was 0-for-9 from the field and said, "Coach, I got to sit the rest of this out. I'm just not my brain ain't right. I'm not mentally with it. And this is game 7 of the NBA Finals. We're never forgiving LeBron James." There would, like, and you know this. If your Jordan is greater than LeBron, no matter what, you would use that as the first thing you ever brought up would be LeBron took himself out of a Finals game.
Yeah.
And you'd probably be justified. If Tom Brady threw 3 picks in the first half of a Super Bowl and then at halftime just said, "My mind's not in this. I'm off mentally," and just didn't play in the second half of the game, we would lose our minds. We would lose our collective minds. Everyone would. Like, now, if his, like, if his leg fell off, we'd be like, well, can they give him a shot? Can they tape it up? What do we have to do? It's just very odd that, and listen, part of it is because she's a girl. I think that is part of it. Part of it is because her story has been so public about the sexual assault stuff, which is terrible. And I'm not saying she shouldn't have a mental break. I'm just saying we can't all just be like, oh, it's so brave, when we would never, ever, ever say that about a male athlete pulling himself out of a competition. No way. And that's basically what happened today. And then it got into the argument. The craziest thing about this whole thing is Carrie Strug has been trending on Twitter today. Carrie Strug, most known for doing that vault with basically a broken leg and landing it and winning the gold medal.
Yeah.
She was the big hero of the Olympics back then. And everyone was like, oh, she's an inspiration. She went out there and gutted it out. And now there are women on Twitter.com today shaming Carrie Strug because it was a bad example to sacrifice your body for the entertainment of people on television.
Shame.
Which, by the way,
there were people who said that at the time, though.
That's dumb. Yeah. Listen, if you are, and I'm not a world-class athlete, but I will say this. I have close personal relationships with lots of people who are world-class athletes. I'm talking tip of the top at what they do. And one thing I will say about all of them is they would rather maim their bodies and win than come out with no injuries and lose. That is universal, that you would rather go out there and if you get hurt, you get hurt. TJ Dillashaw fought on Saturday night, and in the first round, he tore his meniscus and ruptured his LCL, his lateral ligament. I should know.
Cruciate
ligament. That's right. I've done this. I've done both those things. And you can't even step without feeling like your leg is going to just fall apart. He fought 20 more minutes and had a giant gash over his eye, blood leaking into his eyes. Did he say, you know what? I don't want to put my body through. No, that's what he's there for. You're there to put your body through whatever sport you play to win. That's what you train your whole life for. So Carrie Strug, I'm never going to say, oh, she shouldn't have done that. Because I would have done it if I were her and I'd spent my whole life trying to get to the Olympics. And you're like, well, my leg's messed up. Well, if you don't if you don't hit this vault, we don't win the gold medal. Well, damn, I guess I better try then. Like, well, what's the other option? I can't see any world-class athlete finding another option.
Well, I'm going to... As much as I agreed with what you said in the tweet, I think that, for one thing, man, MMA guys are different characters.
Football players are the same.
And hockey players. I've seen hockey players. It's a different mindset. I mean, those guys are willing to die on the ice or on the field. And that's, you know, I mean, honestly, I would probably be the same way if I were that good of an athlete. But I also, you know, when I'm not going to be too harsh because I'm not going to defend her, first off. Let me start with that. But, you know, if you get the yips, which is kind of what this is, right? I mean, this is basically the yips. And you are hurting your team and you can't mentally get out of it, then, you know, I don't know that it's the worst decision. It's not a decision I would make. I guess the best example I would use is, hey, we're playing tag team poker in October and I go tilt. And I start playing like garbage. Am I going to say, hey, AJ, can you get in here for a while? I can't do it. I'm playing like crap. Or am I going to play through it? And it's not the same thing because I'm not going to die if I land on my neck. But I'm going to try to play through it until you talk me out of it. So, you know what, dude? You need to get your ass out of there. You're going to have to pull me out of there. But I get why. I mean, she's accomplished everything she could possibly accomplish anyway. And, you know, so I don't really fault her. I don't think it shows courage. I think that was the wrong word to use. So I'm not going to praise her for it, but I understand it. Is that fair?
I mean, listen, this mental, and I'm not, the whole thing about this, I'm not like saying mental illness isn't real. That's not my point. She could be dealing with some real mental illness or a mental break or whatever you want to call it. I'm not, you know, educated enough in these fields to know exactly what the term is. What I will say is and this is just me guessing, and maybe you guys feel differently. If she were winning, if she, like when we talked about it yesterday, she was falling off the mat and stuff.
Yeah.
If she weren't doing all that and she was getting perfect scores, would this mental break have still happened? Because here's what it seems like. You know what? We got to hit a break. I want to compare her to another wildly successful female athlete.
I think I know where you're going to go with this because I was about to do the same thing.
Okay. And I think that a lot of it is sometimes, and again, I don't know, maybe this is a real mental break, but also I think sometimes people who have had success their whole lives experiencing their first taste of failure, that feeling can probably easily be confused for mental break. Like if you've never lost and then suddenly you're losing, it's like, well, this doesn't feel right. Yeah, but that's how everybody else in the world's felt since junior high, you know? So we'll talk about that on the other side.
All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Blitz on ESPN 97.5. I've been waking up throughout the night. My mind just chasing the truth. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. All right, you teased another athlete. I'm pretty sure I know who it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey, is that who you were thinking of?
Yeah, absolutely. Because,
okay.
Because, when she was suddenly no longer bulletproof, she cratered.
She built this thing, and I'm not saying it's a facade, because I don't think it was phony to her. But there was this air about Ronda that she was unbeatable at what she did. And she was smashing everyone. And I mean, it was like, this isn't even fair that she's in the ring with her. And then Holly Holm kicked her in the head. And she started saying crazy things. I mean, she started behaving differently. And then she fought again against Amanda Nunes and lost that in 40-something seconds. And then she was like, I quit. I'm going to professional wrestling now. What? Like, it was too much for her not to be the best. And some people, what they associate, you know, the way they build themselves up is, this is what I do, I'm the best at it. And all of a sudden, when that's not there, and you've attached yourself to that identity, that you're the best in the world at this, well, now what are you? If you're, it's pretty obvious that you're not the best in the world. Well, what's your identity now? It's really hard to go from wearing goat t-shirts like Simone Biles was the other day to wearing a silver medal. It's just very, or no medal. It's very difficult for these people that compete at these. And by the way, we're talking about competing at a level that none of us can comprehend. Okay. None of us can really put ourselves in those shoes, myself included. So I'm not like, I'm just saying what I believe to be true. and these people who have associated themselves and identified with this success, when they don't have it, when they feel failure for the first time, it can feel like you're having a mental break. Most of us normal people, like a lot of people, don't play sports after junior high. They don't make the high school team and they get that failure. Oof, that sucks. A lot of people, they play up until high school. You make your high school team, you might be a big shot at your high school, but you were just too small to make it in D1 or whatever. Then there's a lot of guys who make it to college. I mean, obviously a lot fewer, but guys do make it to college ball. And they play, and about 3% of those guys go on and have professional careers. It's everybody hits that wall at some point, and everybody has to deal with it at some point. And I think the longer you live without feeling that failure, the more difficult it is to swallow when it comes, because you start to believe your own hype. You start to believe your own. Ronda Rousey.
No, that's part of what makes you great, though, is you believe that.
It is. Ronda Rousey 100% did not believe that another woman could beat her in an MMA fight. She did not believe it. And when it happened, it just blew her mind. And she was like, that wasn't real. So she does another one and it's worse. Now it's like, okay, well, I'm not what I thought I was. And you make it so long and you believe that you're invincible. You believe that and it's our fault too, because everybody talks about Simone Biles, and everybody talked about Ronda Rousey too, the greatest women's athlete. Everybody's talking about Simone Biles, the greatest female Olympian of all time, the greatest gymnastics gal ever. I mean, that's big words.
Yeah.
So then you show up, and like I said yesterday, she's fallen off the mat and stuff. It's like, oh, and she's crying afterwards. It's like, yeah, she's experiencing what, you know, the gymnastics team from Croatia experienced 6 months ago in qualifying when you smashed them, and now they don't even get to go to the Olympics because they didn't even qualify because you wrecked shop on them. Now it's happening to you. And it might feel like a mental breakdown. It really might. But it could also just be that feeling of losing for the first time. It's a crappy feeling, especially when you don't think it's possible.
You know, I want to bring up somebody who I think went through that very briefly and then came out of it. When Francis Ngannou first started fighting, he looked unbeatable. Fights Derek, has the poor fight. Comes out, loses the next fight, did not look like the same dude. Whatever he did to adjust to that, he's been pretty good since. But he had that same kind of mindset. He was invincible at first. He couldn't lose. And then he did. And then he lost again. And, you know, you have to adjust to that. And she's never had to experience that. And when you experience it for the first time, I'm sure it's difficult.
Brother Bear brings up Mike Tyson.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. And Mike Tyson, I don't want to say he quit against Buster Douglas, but when he couldn't get Buster Douglas out of there when he thought he should have, boy, things started to sort of snowball on him, didn't they?
Yeah, well, and I don't know if you were too young to remember that fight, but when he walked out in the ring, he looked like he wanted to be anywhere but there.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where
it was different Mike Tyson.
Yeah, because the Mike Tyson we saw for all those other fights,
he was a machine.
He was scary.
Yeah.
I mean, he walked out, I don't care who you were. You looked across the ring at him, you're like, holy bleep, this guy is going to destroy me.
But
he wants to kill me.
But that's also, like, again, top-tier athletics. If there's any kind of crack, the other guy's going to beat you. The other girl's going to beat you. Because it's not like those Russian chicks last night were scrub-a-dubs. They're the best chicks in Russia. Like, I mean, I'm not going to act like I know a lot about gymnastics, but clearly they're part of the gold medal winning team. They might have the girl who's second best in the world behind Simone Biles. And the difference between the best person in the world at something and the second best in the world at something could be a head cold or a scratchy throat. Like, it don't take much, because when you get to that point, it's millimeters deciding. Watch the swimming from last night. Like, the top four swimmers are separated by 0.14 seconds. The girl who got fourth place was 0.01 seconds behind the girl who got a bronze medal. Imagine you go to Japan, you train 4 years, and you're
actually point, 5 years.
You're point, yeah, 5 years. You're point 0.01 seconds from the medal. That's just brutal, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
The girl, my girl, Jessica Fox.
Yeah.
The Australian canoe slalom chick.
Yeah.
Had the best time last night. Had a 4 second penalty.
Oh.
She went from gold medal to bronze medal on that penalty. That, but that's what it, and canoe slalom, obviously a more difficult sport than gymnastics. So that should tell you everything you need to know right there.
Yeah. I, you know, like I said, I can't imagine what that feels like mentally. So I can't really, yeah, I'm not going to be critical, but I do think that the Ronda Rousey thing is right on the head. And, you know, that to, I wonder now if she ever comes back, you know, I mean, if this is really in her head now, if she comes out and wins all the individual stuff, I think people are probably going to be more critical. It's like, oh, well, you couldn't do it for your team. Now, and somebody else brought up a good point. If they wound up winning gold anyway, people are probably saying she did the right thing.
But they didn't. No. And that's just the breaks.
Right.
And that's when you pull yourself out of a competition, if you're the leader of that team, you pull yourself out, then you have to live with the results even though you're not a part of them anymore. Like, oh, you will forever be tied to those results.
Yeah, somebody says, I think AJ has it here. I don't care for gymnastics, but I watched Sunday. Biles was off. Her facial expressions gave it away. Whether she overtrained or felt the pressure or whatever, deciding not to potentially break her neck out there today was a good choice. I mean, if that is the case, if that kind of stuff was really getting in her head, it probably was the right thing to do.
Yeah. And listen, and they'll say, listen, it's a if your mental game is off, you could be seriously injured doing that gymnastic stuff. And you could. It looks dangerous as hell. If you're flipping around through the air, I don't know how you even practice that. How many times you got to bust your ass in practice to do it? It's amazing. But also, playing quarterback in the NFL, every single snap, you're risking grave bodily harm. If your mental is off a split second, you hold the ball 1 second too long, I mean, you could just be smashed. Smashed. That a lot of sports have that. That's a real thing that if you, again, and fighting, another great example, athletic, you have to deal with that. If you blink your eye twice in a row and you don't see a punch coming, that could be the end of the fight, just like that. You're knocked out. That's high level athletics. Your margins for error go to almost zero. Here's a great example. Imagine, and we're talking about like, if you pull yourself out, the results they're attached to you whether you like it or not.
Right, that's just a fact.
Remember when Garrett Cole got pulled out of a World Series game for Will Harris? Or no, Zach Greinke got pulled out. Do you remember how Zach Greinke felt? Like, just, I mean, we don't know, but because he was a professional, he didn't say. But the look on his face, how he felt being pulled out of that game?
Yeah, yeah. And it's hard to tell with him because he's kind of, he's got all his issues. But he couldn't have been happy.
But
he couldn't have been.
But guess what? Once Zach Greinke came out of that game, and everyone's saying, well, it's not like Simone ran off. She chalked up her girls. She was cheering them on. Well, that's called being a teammate. I'm not saying Simone Biles is a bad teammate. Zach Greinke didn't, like, throw his glove down and storm off to the clubhouse. He stayed out there and watched Will Harris blow that game. But that's the deal. Once you're out of the game, you have to deal with the results that happen when you're no longer in control. Now imagine that Zach Greinke had asked out of the game himself and said, you know what? I don't feel comfortable going through this lineup a third time. How would we feel differently about Zach Greinke today? I know I would. Because we feel differently about AJ Hinch for doing it to him.
Yeah.
So if a player like that in the biggest game asks out, there's no way we don't judge them for that. And it's whether that's fair or not, I mean, you can say, well, they're not superheroes. They're people just like us. And they are. But that's what we do. We invest a lot of time in watching these things. And if you ask out of the – if you don't want the ball in the biggest moment, you're not a top – it's hard for me to put you in that, like, world-class elite category. I mean, I have to. I coach 14-year-old kids. I have to pry the baseball out of their hands sometimes when they've hit two kids in a row because they're like, "It's gonna. I'm about to fix it. I'm not walking anybody else. It's fixed. I know what I'm doing wrong. I've fixed it." Everybody should and that's what you want. You want people who want the ball when it counts the most. You want a quarterback who wants to be down six with 2 minutes left versus a quarterback who's happy to be up six with his defense on the field. You'd much rather have the quarterback who wants that ball. And it just felt like, and whether it's because she's a woman, whether it's because her tribulations have been so public, I don't know what it is, but everyone was so quick to defend it today. I thought the hypocrisy was crazy because you would never, ever, ever see that with a male athlete. And there was someone on Twitter who said, well, she's tiny. She's a tiny 24-year-old girl. She's not a big, a giant athlete like LeBron James who can hide behind this facade. I'm like, so wait, now physical stature has some, like, that makes no sense. LeBron James is competing against other giant men. She's competing against other tiny ballerinas. The odds are even there.
Well, not only that, she ain't tiny. That's a muscular girl, man. She's just short. What do you even bring that up for? Not you, them. But no, I don't agree, but I understand why she did it. I think your whole point was that any male athlete would be getting destroyed. I agree with that 100%.
100%.
And I think people that took it in a different direction were wrong. But
so you're saying I was right.
I'm saying your initial tweet was right. Some of the stuff after that where you guys are kind of going back and forth, not so much.
Okay.
But I think it didn't need to go that direction. And I think more people defend her than need to. And frankly, she can defend herself. All right. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. We said Jay Cutler got destroyed when he bowed out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
A couple things I want to address. First, ATX Hobo Girl says, I just find it interesting that those who are going after Biles that were in complete support of Oscar protecting her mental health. Big difference there is when she pulled out of what she was in the first round or whatever of that tournament, no one else is depending on her. It's just her. You know what she wants to say? Not only is she losing, like she lost money for that, but she also there's not a bunch of other people counting on her. If Simone Biles had said 2 weeks before the Olympics happened, this is just too heavy for me, I can't do it, I would have had zero problem with it. They would have had some alternate take her spot. It would have sucked because she's the best one. But let's face it, LeBron James and Anthony Davis aren't playing with Team USA. James Harden's not playing with Team USA because they're dealing with injuries, which mental health is an injury. So I think those are some big differences there. And then Jeremy, he said, you could argue she made the right call, potentially saved herself for the individual round. And I said, the question becomes, if she would have been getting all the high scores, if her mental state was exactly the same and she was just killing it, would she have tapped out? And I think the answer, again, maybe I'm making an assumption, but that's my job.
Yeah, for four more days.
I think we can safely assume she would have kept competing if it was working. Now, then you say, okay, and he said she would have stayed in. Her mental state, like you said, has a lot to do with not living up to her own standards, the yips most likely. And I say if your mental state is attached to your success, is that a mental break or is that a hissy fit? Where's the line drawn?
Yeah, I think it's on an individual basis, right? I mean, I don't know the whole motivation, and it's hard to tell. But I will just say this, and I think it's been a good conversation. I don't blame her if that's how she truly felt, that the team is going to be better off without her. But it's not a courageous move. And, you know, I don't think you should be praised for it. And somebody says that she was scared of making herself look bad and mess with the image, so she went the mental route. She came to the Olympics as a top person. Now she's struggling, so she choked. I think that's harsh. Somebody says, I agree with you, AJ. I know what you're saying. Michael Phelps never checked out, and he deals with depression. Zach Greinke never checked out, and he deals with depression. I mean,
Zach Greinke took some time to himself in the off season, and people were pissed.
Yeah.
Like, the off season, not like the middle of an event in the Olympics, which is the worst possible time to decide, you know what, there's too much pressure going on here. And I said, if Michael Phelps 4 years ago, 5 years ago, was struggling mentally, and he said, you know what, I don't know that I'm going to be at my best, so I'm going to sit out of the 100-meter relay, even though he's the fastest guy. And we all know Simone's the best girl. She's the best. She's certainly the best American. I mean, I don't know if she's the best right now. I know coming into this thing, she was widely regarded as the best. Who knows right now? I mean, you have to take that. Listen, this is the other sad thing about mental health. When we're judging how good people are, we have to take that into account. If she's lost it, she's lost it. I don't know that she has. I'm just saying we can't say with certainty right now that Simone Biles is the best gymnast in the world because she doesn't look like it. So if she has someone come in for her before the event starts, it's different. But I'm telling you, if Michael Phelps said, I need a replacement for this race because I'm just not mentally there where I feel like I can give my best performance, people would have torched him. And I don't know if it's right or wrong. All I was pointing out originally was the hypocrisy of it.
Yeah, and again, I agree with that 100% because, yeah, I think, honestly, because she's female, people automatically were coming to her defense.
Yes.
Well, listen, she's a world-class athlete. She's the best that's ever done this. She can defend herself, and she did. So, you know, but that also doesn't mean that we can all say, oh, yeah, well, you know, good for her. That was courageous.
Yeah, you're a hero now.
Yeah, no, you're not a hero, and it wasn't courageous. You made a decision, and, you know, whether or not I agree with it doesn't really matter, but the fact that a lot of the population has jumped in to defend her when they wouldn't do that for a man, that point we agree with. I think most people agree with that. How it turned into what it did, I don't know. So, yeah, so who will be on with Fred the first day AJ is out? I will not be here Monday or Tuesday. I'm actually taking mental health now. I've got we're launching, we're trying to launch Sports Map Elite. So I need to spend a couple days working on that. And a couple extra days to think about what we're going to do around here.
Jared Taylor says, Kyrie takes mental health days during the regular season and everyone bashes him. It's 100% true.
Yeah.
He does.
But, I mean, I also just can't imagine what the pressure's like when you are the best in the world like that. And,
sure.
Well, and this is your one moment in the world stage, and your commercials are everywhere. And, like, Oreo was tweeting about her today, which I thought was kind of a bad look. It's like, dude, this is not the day to be doing that.
But also, let's stop with the weight of the world on her shoulders. Like, no, there's a bunch of other countries who don't want her to win. I don't think the Russians were too upset that she had a mental break.
Yeah, Russians don't even get to call themselves Russians.
No.
They're ROCs.
And also, whatever you think, whatever kind of pressure you think she's under, there's more people watching the Super Bowl than the Olympics. All right. Tom Brady's under more pressure than Simone Biles. So, and then it's like people talking about, like, they're talking about her like it's the Olympics from 9 years ago when she was 15.
Right.
Like, she's not a child. This is an adult woman. We don't have to, like, baby her and pat her on the back and say, it's okay, honey. No, it just wasn't your best day. No. This is big boy stuff. Like, those 13-year-old girls that were skateboarding, which, by the way, it's pretty badass that gold and silver medals are 13-year-old girls in skateboarding. But if they would have fallen, I would kind of understand. Like, you don't want to bash a 13-year-old girl, because that's A, they're not multimillionaire athletes, but B, I mean, they really are just kind of doing it for the love, and they're children. Simone Biles is no longer a child. If this had happened when Simone Biles was 15,
I'd be defending her.
I'd be defending her.
Yeah.
But this is a 24-year-old woman who, I mean, at the end of the day, she's the one who's got to live with this. And that's going to be difficult. But I cannot tell you that if I were on a team of, what, four? I guess how many competed in that? Four or five? Four?
Four, I think.
But I think there's, how many are there on the whole team? Seven?
Yeah, I think.
I cannot imagine that the other six women on that team are, like, listen, 100% on Twitter.com, on Instagram, they're going to be supportive. But you know that they're thinking, you're our best player. This is the biggest time.
Imagine being that one who just missed being an alternate, who didn't get to go.
I'm saying.
Not only that, and what people have pointed out, like my wife pointed this out because she follows Simone Biles' career more than probably most humans should, lately at least, that a lot of the mental break also might have come with the fact that she's starting to realize that she's human, but it's also believed that this is going to be her last time competing in the Olympics because she's going to be too old in 3 years from now. So
she might be too old now. That may be the problem.
This is my last chance, and it's not going as I planned. I plan to walk in, destroy everybody, walk out. Maybe that's not going to happen, and this is my last opportunity.
Eric says two guys are playing golf from South Korea, and if they don't medal, they have to do 2 years of military service.
Yeah, they go to the military. You talk about pressure. And by the way, once you golf is one of those sports, like you hang it up for 2 years, you're never going to compete like at a world class level. You have to practice all the time. These guys, if they don't win a medal in this golf tournament, They go into forced military service. Don't tell me about pressure on Simone Biles. Does Simone Biles have to join the Marine Corps now? Is that happening? That would be pressure. Maybe the U.S. should get that rule. All right. we're gonna send you to the Olympics, but you blow it, you're gonna pay.
All right. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5-92.5.
This is the Blitz.
The Blitz.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. See, this is why we should teach poker in schools. Because then you learn how to deal with losing.
Yeah.
Because even when you win a tournament, you have to lose hands. It's going to happen. So I think this we should use this as an excuse to put poker in every high school in America so kids learn how to lose.
Yeah, I feel like maybe people are misunderstanding what I'm saying. Like, I'm not questioning how great she is at what she does.
No.
She's unbelievable. That's not even up for debate. But even the best in the world have games where they're bad. That happens. You know, we've seen Verlander go out and give up 9 earned runs. It's crazy, but it happens.
It does.
That's part of competing at that level is it's unsustainable to just dominate everyone forever and ever and ever. Like Khabib has essentially, he did that and he walked away. Had he not walked away, guess what happens? Eventually, that young, hungry dog catches up with him as he starts to decline. Someone else is on the rise, and there's an intersection. That's just what sports are. And again, I'm not, it could very well be a mental break. All I'm saying is, boy, and it would have been nice to know before the event started. You know what I mean?
Yep. It says decisions, not outcomes, Fred. Yep.
Decisions, not outcomes.
346, let's blame her boyfriend for playing with the Texans.
That could be. You think he made her a loser? Asymmetric says, follow the money. Now that she's got to do an Oprah interview. I mean, that's possible. And then Junior says, maybe Simone's logic was that an alternate at 100% was better than her at 80%. And I would argue that no one on Simone Biles' level believes that. I don't think she thinks that if I can give my best, it's still going to be better than what anybody else can do.
Boy, I hope this is a sarcastic text because it says she's obviously it's obvious racism when they judge her performance on a different level. They said that her different routines she tries, the other girls will not even try, but the judges give her no credit for attempting moves others can't attempt. That's the exact opposite of what happened. They were giving her great scores because of her
difficulty. We talked about that yesterday. Yeah. But she also, there is like a cap on how difficult you can make your moves. And here's the other thing where I don't feel bad for Simone about that. They said, well, why do you do these moves? Why do you attempt them if you know you're like there's a limit on how much they can give you for degree of difficulty? And she said, because I can. So like if you're going to, I mean, and I'm not saying that she shouldn't be cocky. Because, again, we talk about this. If you're going to be great at some point, you have to have this confidence that you are that great.
Right.
But then when it doesn't work, you can't cry and say, well, I'm doing harder moves than everybody else, and they're not giving me credit for it. She's not saying that.
That person
But
was.
I'm saying you knew before that those were the rules. She knew the parameters of the scoring. If she did harder moves than she had to, that's on her. I had a discussion with somebody else about this today. Like, if I say I'm going to give you $100 to move 50 bricks across the street, and you move 56 bricks, do I have to pay you extra, or did you just do some extra stuff that you didn't need to do? That's what Simone was doing, extra stuff she didn't need to do. I'm not going to go, oh, you moved 56 bricks? I was only paying you for 50. Here's some more money. No, you made that decision to do something you didn't need to do.
And, couple things from Twitter. Jeremy brought up Rick Ankiel. That's a guy who totally lost it. And Tyler said, I'm fine with her making a decision for herself, but I agree the word hero should not be used because a hero sacrifices for others. Also, people need to look at the definition of courage because this ain't it. And he included the definition of courage. Houston media critic says, yesterday we were talking about how gymnastics in the Olympics is fixed pointing so that she didn't deserve the best score. Maybe she thinks she didn't deserve it, giving her pressure to pull out. I know you don't think that's a good reason, but it is subjective.
And then he says, you said the sport is fixed on the show yesterday. Why are you backing off that today? I'm not backing off that. I think they wanted to do everything possible to get her in the finals. If she quits on her own, what are they going to do? Say, well, oh, she quit? Well, that's a 9.4 quit. She's in. Put her on the stand. Don't be a dope Houston media critic. I'm not backing off that now.
And tomorrow, Steelers girl.
It's a different conversation.
Yeah. When you're used to being a shining star, everything you do, and all of a sudden you're not in the public eye, I'm sure it feels frustrating not understanding what is going on with her right now, not condoning or dismissing how she feels. Yeah, I mean, I get that. I will never be in that position, so I don't know.
It goes back to what we said earlier in the hour, is the longer you go in life without being beat at something, the more unbeatable you believe you are in your head. And then the more it stings when it finally happens.
And the whole, well, you could never do that thing that people like to do. Listen.
Well, no bleep.
Yeah.
I can't do a cartwheel, much less a flippity flop off the vault.
I've also sat there and watched people criticize how Phil Hellmuth played a hand. How many main events have you won? You know, that's just part of it. People are paid to have opinions.
Yeah, you're here criticizing how we do our radio show. What about your radio show? Oh, you don't have one? Oh, I guess you can't criticize us.
I got a podcast. My mom listens. Oh, boy. Well, somebody might have crashed their car listening to you scream like that. And you know what? If you did, and it's not in great shape, you can donate it to Cars for Kids. As a matter of fact, if you've got a vehicle that you got in the garage, you got it anywhere, and it's not running, you were going to fix it up, or maybe it is running, but you got to get it inspected and all that stuff. You know, instead of trying to fix it, instead of trying to sell it, donate it to Cars for Kids. Because here's what's going to happen. You're going to do a good thing, because that money goes to Houston Can Academies and helps kids get a second chance at a diploma all here locally. And not only that, you're going to get a tax write-off. They'll pick it up for free. And if you mention ESPN Houston, you're going to get a $50 Visa gift card as a thank you for your donation. And all you have to do is go to carsforkids.org or call 713-225-4226. Here's the other cool thing. You probably don't have the title if it's been sitting there that long, right? Well, guess what? They'll do the title work for you, including search and transfer. So you don't even have to deal with that. And if you're going to sell it, you'd have to deal with that. So go to carsforkids.org, donate today, right off the car, not the kid.
Gotta calculate what's the best move. Television broadcast news. Same story, another black man shot down by the blues. Anyone know why we sing the blues? It's the way we living from the underground. Gotta fill a shoe. From a fight, gotta pick a choose. Recognize the unity, we stick together like a...
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.